Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's scripture lesson may be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, verses 1 through 11. Let us hear God's word. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. There's a word missing at the beginning of today's lesson. The original Greek text contains the word arxato. It means began. And it does appear in earlier English translations. Here, for example, is the Revised Standard Version. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. The implication is that Jesus has not finished doing and teaching. Luke's first letter to Theophilus, we now call it the Gospel of Luke, lays out what Jesus began to do and teach during his earthly ministry. Luke's second letter to Theophilus, we now call it the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, lays out what the risen Jesus is continuing to do and teach through his church. What Jesus did, we are to do. What Jesus taught, we are to teach. I know that some of you are deeply concerned about continuity here at National Presbyterian. And understandably so. You lost two highly respected pastors within weeks of one another. And you're wondering, will things ever be the same? And the only honest answer is yes and no. No, because no two pastors are alike. And your future pastors, when they arrive, 18 months, 20 months, however long it may take, your future pastors, when they arrive, will not be Craig's clone or Jeff's twin. Well, then, will things not be the same? Yes, they will, so long as this church does what Jesus did and teaches what Jesus taught. It was said of Jesus, He was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Deed and word are the two tracks that will prevent your gospel train from derailing. And as far as I can tell, you're keeping your balance quite well. On the word track, you are teaching the scriptures to your children and youth, and doing it very creatively, if I may say so. And you are offering a score of opportunities for adult education. On the deed track, you are ministering to the lonely and the hurting through your deacons and through Stephen Ministries. You are supporting ministry in Birzeit, Israel, and the Third Church of God here in Washington, D.C. You are caring for people through your new caring teams and in a host of other ways, many of them hidden and very quiet. Keep a healthy balance between word and deed, and you need never fear that the National Presbyterian Limited will ever derail. Teach what Jesus taught. Do what Jesus did, and you will maintain a clear continuity, not only with your former pastors, but far more importantly, with Jesus Christ. There is also a note of caution in this text. The disciples are curious about the kingdom of God. Lord, they ask, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? People today are asking similar questions. Are we living in the last days? When will Jesus return? What are the signs for the second coming? Now, curiosity is one of God's good gifts, and it's understandable that we who live under the threat of annihilation should be curious about the future, about God's kingdom. And some are only too willing to address that curiosity. I was standing in a Christian bookstore one day, waiting at the checkout counter, and I glanced to my right, where there was a display of books on biblical prophecy. Folks, I counted no less than 70 titles, all of them purporting to tell us when Christ was going to return. But Jesus cautions us. It is not for you to know the times and periods that the Father has set by his own authority. Nor was this the first time Jesus poured cold water on their curiosity. Shortly before his death, Jesus said, about that day and hour, the day and hour of his second coming, about that day and hour, no one knows. Not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. I wish I had heard that note of caution back in high school. Sensing a call to Christian ministry, I had been saving my money all through high school so I could go to college, kind of the first step toward ordination. And then one night, I heard a prominent evangelist on the radio predict that Jesus would return within 5 years. I had 1 year left in high school. 4 years in college, 5 years, 5 years. And I said to myself, what's the use? Why spend all that money and time preparing for a ministry that I will never get to perform? And believe it or not, I spent most of my savings. I bought chrome hubcaps for my car. I took my girlfriend out to dinner at the most expensive restaurant in Santa Barbara. I treated all of my buddies at the local Dairy Queen, not once, but often. Eventually, I came to my senses, but not before my savings were severely depleted. Thankfully, that's not the end of the story. God is good. God is gracious. I went to work as a groundskeeper on a large estate in Santa Barbara I had decided to work for a year, save my money, and go to college the following year. Late in August, 1 week before the start of the fall term in a college I wanted to attend, 1 week before, the owner of that estate called me into her lovely home, sat me down, and said, "Tom, I understand you want to be a minister." I said, "Yes, I do." "Tom," she said, "I have had the privilege," she used that word, I'll never forget it, "I have had the privilege of helping doctors and lawyers and business persons and many others get their college education. I have never had the privilege of helping a minister." Whereupon she handed me a check for $500. Now, in terms of today's tuition, $500 is a drop in the bucket, but folks, this was 51 years ago. Today, that $500 would be worth at least $5,000. The next day, I was in my car heading for Los Angeles. I applied for admission, I was accepted, and 1 week later, I was sitting in my first college class, beginning my preparation for a ministry that has now lasted for almost 44 years. If Jesus Christ returns this afternoon or tomorrow, thank God. But don't waste your time trying to outguess your Lord. Jesus didn't know the date of his return. So what right have we to speculate? Instead, let us consent to his commission to get on with his ministry. It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Just as we were called to worship in this sanctuary, Jesus commissions us to witness in that world. Which world? Well, the world of our Jerusalem, the District of Columbia. And if D.C. is our Jerusalem, then Judea is comprised of the surrounding city. Where is Samaria? Well, in Jesus' day, no self-respecting Jew would ever drive straight through Samaria. No way. They would take the Jordan Beltway to avoid going through Samaria. So the question is, where are we reluctant to go? Around which sections of town do we take a wide detour? That's our Samaria, and that's where Jesus commissions us to witness. And he sends us to the world. Not just the geographical world of Asia, Africa, and South America, but the hurting world, the suffering world, the world of HIV/AIDS, the world of homeless children, the world of abused women, the world of displaced persons and refugees, the hurting world, the wounded world, the world Jesus loves, the world for which Jesus died, the world over which Jesus still weeps. I want you to note that I'm using plural pronouns in this sermon. Jesus commissions us. Jesus sends the church to this hurting, hungry world. You personally may not be equipped to resettle the homeless, but someone else is, and that someone will be our representative to the destitute. You may not be personally gifted to counsel abused women, but someone else in this congregation is, and that person will be National Presbyterian's missionary to victims of violence. Make no mistake, We as a church are to continue Christ's mission. Or more accurately, Christ continues his mission through National Presbyterian Church. And when these two men in white robes asked, "Why do you stand looking up to heaven?" what they meant was, don't waste your time trying to decipher God's confidential calendar. There's ministry to be done in the world, and it's time to get on with it. Amen.